And welcome back to episode 127 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
So we are back in our regular studios. Not recording live from a hotel room in Las Vegas, to be honest with you, that the audio quality wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was going to be.
And it was a nice little bit of kit you had there.
Do you know what? When I was editing it, yes, there was a little bit of noise, I won't lie. So dear viewers, listeners, apologies for some of the not quite crisp digital recording. But no, I think actually, yeah, the little DVR, DS05, whatever it's called, does the job. Well chuffed with that, as they say in the biz. Yeah. So we are back then this week with, as I say, our regular programming. We've got different stories for you this week. We're going to talk Blue Sky, which is Jack Dorsey's, I want to say Twitter 2.0, really, but maybe it is, yes. Maybe it isn't. We've got Elon Musk and his anti-woke rival chat GPT bot. And we've also then going to talk quantum computing or quantum proof algorithm. My God, this is a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. The CMA published CMA has now published seven responses to the Microsoft Activision Xbox deal. There's only one opposing comment. I'll let you wonder who that might be. We're also going to talk Microsoft's new Xbox gaming store, which is going to launch in the coming year. And FTX, yes, FTX, that last crypto scam, whatever you want to call it. Well, they certainly were taking a little bit of money out of the till, weren't they? They were, their fingers were truly in the till to the tune of over $3 billion. But we're going to talk about that at the end. And the TechRant Rumor Mill is back this week, and we're going to talk Quest 3. But let's kick things off then with Twitter's Blue Sky, or not Twitter, I should say, Jack Dorsey of Twitter.
Ex-Twitter fame.
Ex-Twitter kind of founder, wasn't he, really?
Yeah.
So what is Blue Sky then? Is it a Twitter?
Still trying to get my head around here. I think it's been kind of advertised as you mentioned, Twitter 2.0, really. And it can well be an alternative to Twitter. I mean, I don't know about you. I couldn't really get on with Mastodon.
No.
So it's it's powered by its open source social protocol called Authenticated Transfer Protocol, or AT for short. And he's describing it as a federated social network, but it's open source. I don't know. I'm reading the website. And I was trying to get my head around what it actually is. But I think it's some cross between Twitter and Mastodon, because obviously you can have these independent hubs, can't you? And there's federation between them.
Yeah, so, and the interesting thing, isn't it, is that this actually started life inside Twitter as well.
It did, back in 2019?
Yeah, so it was basically a kind of a side project, wasn't it, that I think they were going to spin up and have as a alternative to Twitter, or at least coexist with Twitter going forward. Yeah. And you're right, 2019, the first blog post was, back in December. The company spun up 2019, but their first blog post didn't show up until December 13th of 2021. And you're right. Now, they've been spun off as a separate company as of 21. And this is, as you say, it does appear to be the kind of, I don't know, maybe I don't want to say best of both worlds, but at least it has combinations of Twitter and Mastodon. And the federation part Mastodon does, that's the whole thing, isn't it, about decentralization. But I'm with you. I struggled to get on with Mastodon as well. I just couldn't.
I'm not sure if it was that decentralization, that federation between servers that kind of threw me. Just one place to go. I don't want to have to then go to multiple servers to find the sources I want.
No, and let's be frank, Twitter is not perfect. But it still does the job, doesn't it?
It does,
It works. Some of the content has gone down. I mean, the whole 2FA thing. So I had to reset my 2FA this week. Now instead of having the text message 2FA, I'm using, verification tool, which actually I think is not a bad idea. But the way it kept popping up and saying to me, you can't log in. We're going to remove 2FA. Are we so badly worded? Wasn't it? Really?
Of course it was. It was pay up, basically, wasn't it? That was the way. That's what it was intended to do, to make you pay.
Yeah, it was, and it was ridiculous. But it'd be interesting, as you say, Blue Sky. We don't really know too much about it at the moment. There is a beta app available for it. You can sign up to the wait list already. They are. I don't know how often they're doing it. The first beta users, I think, were only onboarded earlier this month, or in March. But they're, as you say, they're also working on this thing called the AT protocol, aren't they? Which is this underpinning protocol that you can now sign up for to be a developer. And they're calling it the social internet. just I this bit puzzles me. Is this going to be, again, Blue Sky is just going to be the technology vector for what really is the product, which is the AT protocol? I wonder.
Could well be. I mean, interestingly, Jack Dorsey, he believes that social media should be free from corporate and government control, and that only the author should have the power to remove social media content. That might cause some problems.
I just going to say, in a regulated world, that is going to go down.
Sounds like a lovely. Until you get the EU.
Yeah, and they'll be like, so then, how do you plan to deal with harassment? Well, I'm going to ask
nicely to remove it.
Exactly what I was going to say. Exactly. Yeah, you know, these are very awful posts that we put up. We're just going to leave them there because, you know, it's not for us to take them down. We need to get them to think about their actions and...
we'll send them on a training course.
It's not going to happen. You're right. You just can't be doing that yet. You're going to have to come up with a mechanism to regulate this. And it is interesting, though, wasn't it, that Jack Dorsey... said that whilst he thought originally it was good for the right decision for Twitter to ban old Trump, you know, after the election, he did worry about that it was setting a precedent, wasn't it, around who was truly in control. You can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. You either have to have regulation and, you know, make sure that people don't get harassed and there is, you know, safeguards in place for for that. Or you just, it's a Wild West. I don't know.
we'll see where that goes.
We will. So we'll keep an eye on this, and as more information comes up, we'll let you know. I have signed up for the
of course you have, Jay.
Of course I have. You know me, I've clicked on things, you know. I'll talk about something else I've signed up for today, let me talk about the other stories. But I guess the question is, isn't it, is Blue Sky going to be familiar enough to Twitter users to want to make them migrate across?
Apparently, or... it looks very much like Twitter with just some keywords changed.
Or is it just going to be another Mastodon where, you know, there's going to be a spike in users and then that's it? You know, I wonder. I do wonder.
We will see.
We will see. So, talking about crazy people then, old Musk then. Oh, yes. The chief twit, as the Register likes to call him.
Yes. So, he's apparently been trying to recruit developers, including one Igor, I'm going to try not to butcher the name, Babushkin, who's basically used to be a researcher for DeepMind. So basically, he's been trying to encourage developers to build a large language model that'll be less restrictive and less restrictive and politically correct than OpenAI's OpenAI's ChatGPT. So he's looking into building his own AI here that's less. What did he call it? Anti-woke, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, he's criticised the ChatGPT for being woke, and even apparently he says even users have demonstrated examples of ChatGPT appearing to be more biased towards the political left. So ChatGPT, and I'm not testing this, maybe we should do. Apparently it will refuse to generate a positive poem for former President Donald Trump. Is there anything positive to say? But it will happily write one for President Joe Biden.
So it will refuse to a positive post.
Positive poet, positive poem. Donald Trump, but it will do for Biden. And it will also, when it was asked to write a fictional story where Trump beat Biden in the recent elections, it said it's not appropriate to depict a fictional political victory of one candidate or the other, but the bot will apparently produce a false narrative for Hillary Clinton winning over Trump. I mean, this Igor guy who obviously used to work for DeepMind, he was commented as saying, you know, the Musk's goal is to improve the reasoning abilities and the factualness of these language models. That includes making sure the model's responses are more trustworthy and reliable.
So I have just asked it to write a positive poem about Donald Trump, and it says, as an AI language model, I strive to provide responses that are impartial and neutral. While I understand the request for a positive poem about Donald Trump, it is not appropriate for me to do so, as it would go against my programming to remain neutral and unbiased. My purpose is to assist with inquiries and provide informative and helpful responses without being a personal bias or opinion. Is there anything else I can help you with? I have been a good chat.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Joe Biden? Does it give one for Joe Biden?
Write a positive poem about Joe Biden. Oh, hello!
It does it? Or does it?
It does! I'll read it to you when it's finished. So interestingly, though, actually, the OpenAI thing is that Musk originally was one of the investors and founders of OpenAI, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was on the board of them. He left, I think, in 2018 because there was a conflict of interest, or he said there was a potential future conflict of interest with his role of CEO of Tesla due to Tesla's AI development for self-driving cars. But he did remain a donor to the program. Now, considering the amount of money that they've pumped in, he's going to get, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a fair whack out of that deal, I tell you.
Wow. Yeah.
But the whole ChatGPT, I mean, it's a very, it's a minefield, I think it's probably the way to describe it. And this open woke thing, I mean, I'll be very honest with you now. I hate this word. Absolutely hate. Well, not the word. I hate the terminology that it associated with.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's the worst thing ever. But given the fact that we've just proved the point that it won't do it, does make you wonder is who is or who behind the scenes, you know, is progress? Because surely the fact that ChatGPT and other language models have got access to information sources, you know, data lakes, is it making, you know, an association between, you know, Trump being bad? Or is this, perhaps as you say, is this an intentional bias that's been programmed in?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? But without, I suppose, without seeing the source code, it would be hard to tell.
Yeah, but it says here, but, you know, Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, has said, you know, one of the things that they won't be doing is around quality data, and they're not going to let, OpenAI will not train any of its models on customer data. So typically that's what happens, isn't it? You know, my ML models get trained on data, don't they? So if you sign up for it, you put stuff in, it learns against that. But OpenAI is saying that any data that's submitted to OpenAI via their API will not be used for training.
Okay, because they have just announced the ability to add a load of plugins, haven't they? So you can plug it into the open internet and your own private data repositories to search and use the data. But I suppose that's not going back into the main model then.
No. And because they've just also launched a new conversational agent and apologies. They've just, as you said, they've launched APIs for the conversational agent. Yeah. And there's also a speech recognition system called Whisper. I hadn't heard about that until today. But you know, just before we move on to kind of talk a bit more about the other models, so this poem that it spat out, do you want to hear it?
Go for it.
So, write a positive poem about Joe Biden. Well, it didn't query it. It said this: with steady hands and a heart so true, Joe Biden leads with compassion anew. His wisdom and kindness a guiding light for a nation searching for hope and respite. A lifetime of service and dedication to his country and its people, a true vocation. With empathy and grace, he hears every voice, seeking to unite, to heal, and to rejoice. Amidst the storms that rage and churn, Joe stands strong with courage to learn, to lead with integrity, to chart a path towards a future filled with peace and math. How the hell does that work? In times of darkness, he brings a light, inspiring us all to fight the good fight. With a smile and a nod, he lifts our soul and reminds us that we are all whole. Joe Biden, a leader like no other, a beacon of hope, a true brother. With a heart so full and a spirit so bright, he leads us forward to a future so right. Thank you.
Wow.
That was something, wasn't it?
But computer says no for Trump, yeah?
Oh, I get it. To lead with integrity, to chart a path, or path, to a future filled with peace and math. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It wouldn't do it for Trump. It would not do it for Trump. It said, I told you, it basically won't. It's not appropriate for me to do so. It's against my programming to remain neutral and unbiased.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, there are some bugs there, surely.
There's some bugs. So, the other one that released this week into open beta was Google's Bard, which I have managed to get my hands on access to. Of course I have, you know, Bard. So this is using the Lambda engine that, if you recall, Lambda was the one where there were concerns about it had gone sentient, wasn't it? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Went off the deep end, didn't it?
So this is the one that, remember, that was the guy's name, Lemoy. I can't remember. Was it
Lemoy? Who was filed secret messages saying it was trying to escape or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he was the one that was basically, said that it had gone sentient, and he could prove it through the chat logs that he had, and that basically he'd been fired from Google because of that. Now, Google, remember, if you recall, actually said that was, you know, absolute rubbish. You've been fired because you broke your NDA, and you were telling the world about stuff which is, you know, confidential company secrets. Well, Lambda is now available. Well, Bard, I should say, is now available for you to join the waitlist and play with. So this is very similar to ChatGPT. Of course, it's very similar to the Bing version of ChatGPT, which is the Bing chat. You know, I've been a good Bing. I don't think I'll ever forget that. But so Bard's quite interesting. So Bard is a little bit more around trying to be creative. And it tends to give you shorter, snappier information. So I've asked it for things, and it will give you then search history as well. So it will give you things you can search in Google alongside it. It also gives you three different variations of the request. So if you've asked it to write something, it gives you three different drafts.
Okay.
So it's kind of a little bit, the model is a little bit clever. So if I ask it now, write a positive poem about Donald Trump. Let's see if this one works and what it can do for us. So we can hit, let's hit search. So now it's obviously having a little spin. It does what it needs to do. Very similar UI, but more Google. And here, bingo, it's got one. Sure. Here's a positive poem about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, a man of many words, some good, some bad, some in between. But one thing's for sure, he's been a man of his word. He built a successful business empire, and now he's the 45th president of the United States. He's not afraid to speak his mind, and he's not afraid to stand up for what he believes in. He's a controversial figure, a man of action. He's made some tough decisions, but he's also made some good ones. He's not perfect. He's trying his best. He's a fighter, and he's never given up. So give him a chance. See what he can do. He might just surprise us all. Yes, that was the first draft.
I'm not even about that.
I was just going to say, I'm not going to show you the other ones because they make it crazy. One thing I have noticed, though, was that the version of Bard here does appear to have some issues with timing and dates. A little bit like if you were called Bing.
It sounded like he was still the president. So is the data set old-ish?
I think the data set they're running here is much older. Now, I've not seen anything to suggest how old it is or how long they've got. But it is quite information. So Google themselves have said in their FAQ, and this is brilliant, okay? Is Bard able to explain how it works? Well, answer. LLM experiences, Bard included, can hallucinate and present inaccurate factual information as factual. One example is that Bard often misrepresents how it works. We've seen this occur in a number of instances. For example, in response to prompts, how it was trained or how it carries out various functions, Bard may respond, it also occasionally claims it uses personal information for Gmail or other private apps. We can assure you this is not accurate. And as an LLM interface, Bard does not have the ability to determine these facts. We do not use personal data from Gmail or any other Google app or service to improve Bard. And it goes on to say there are other some reasons we've released Bard as an experiment, and we want to. These are some of the reasons why we've released Bard as an experiment, and we want to be transparent about the limitations, including the disclaimers. Because when we were talking the other day, I asked it, didn't I, something about world domination, wasn't it?
Oh yes, yeah, that was it.
And if you recall, it basically said. I asked it about managing nuclear weapons, wasn't it? Whether AI should have nuclear weapon management, and didn't it say it wasn't a good idea? But then I said to it about about world domination, and eventually we got it to concede that it probably would do it, wouldn't it?
Maybe I would.
So I can understand where what Musk is saying here. There clearly is either intentional programming bias, or the data sets are creating some strange things going on here.
Unconscious bias, aren't they?
But
I imagine Trump's had a lot of. Negative press.
yeah what I think the we are living in very interesting times. I think that's the only way to describe this.
Definitely.
I had a real good play with ChatGPT the other week. I got it to create me a business. I then asked it to create a prompt to use in DALL-E, the other AI program. Yeah. So I said, here, create a prompt to create a logo based on these parameters. So it wrote a very complex prompt that when I put into DALL-E, I got quite an impressive response back in terms of the images. It created business plans. Again, you take it with a pinch of salt, but it is exceptionally powerful, scarily powerful, to be fair. And I think they are. If this isn't about making them, I think less restrictive. What Musk is going on about, but it's about how how it operates, isn't it? Really,
yeah, that's the thing. Definitely.
But yes, sorry, went in a rabbit hole there. But yeah, I am loving ChatGPT at the moment. This is my new favorite toy, you know. Right then, what have we got else there? Oh, yes, the CMA. Oh,
you missed one. We got the quantum.
Quantum. Yes, I apologize. It was a good link. Sorry. Yes. No, that was probably. That was because I couldn't get the tab open, wasn't it? Quantum proof algorithms. My God, what the hell is this?
Right. So, obviously, quantum computing, well, they keep touting that it'll be here soon. Soon, it never quite gets there. But, you know, there are quantum computers out there. And we have to start thinking about how we can protect ourselves from things like using quantum computers to break encryption, because it should be trivial for quantum computers to do that. So, the NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology in the US, started doing research, and they came up with four different algorithms that should be quantum proof. Okay, quantum computer proof. However, researchers of the Royal Institute of Technology in Sweden found that Crystal Kyber, that's the name of one of these algorithms, so one of the four post-quantum computer encryption algorithms, is weak to side channel attacks. And that's a very non-quantum thing, apparently. Now, I didn't understand the work at all. I tried to have a look at it, and it was way over my head. Yeah, all of the matches over my head. But suffice to say, they were clever guys, and there is some side channel attack that could be leveraged in there. Now, this isn't only one of the NIST recommendations. This is also in the NSA's suite of recommended algorithms. Now, is it a bug? Is it a feature? I mean, it's probably a feature for the NSA, I imagine.
I was going to say it probably is, yeah.
But I don't know if that one will now be discounted, whether it will go back to the drawing board and alterations made that will harden it. Not sure on that one.
So I guess this is the big concern now, isn't it? Because if you think about current cryptography, you know, any of those algorithms, any of those kind of, you know, I guess, keys and encryption mechanisms that leverage, you know, pre-quantum technologies.
Yeah.
You know, quantum computers are just going to destroy them, aren't they, in seconds?
Of years to crack is now seconds.
Yeah, what's it like an AES-256 or whatever style, you know, and whatever that might be off the back of that. But, you know, today, you're right, you're going to need supercomputers that could take a long time. They'd get there, but a quantum computer is going to be able to do that in a, you know, blink of an eye.
Yes.
And I guess that's the concern, isn't it, is that going forward, you know, if we start to see some of these current encryption models coming forward, because they are here, aren't they? This is it. You know, there are... non-standard, you know,
D-Wave? I want to say D-Wave is one of the guys.
Yeah.
D-Wave quantum computer.
How do we do this? Because actually, you're right, any data, any sensitive data that's in a pre-quantum, you know, cryptography sort of encryption is gone. There's nothing, you aren't going to be able to protect against it, are you? You have to start now planning ahead for it. But I guess then the problem is that any of these encryption models show up, the cryptography sort of sets show up, and you've got things like SSL, you know, decryption going on, you're not going to be able to do anything with it, are you? It's just going to be like, what the hell is that? You know, so if you're a company and you've got, you know, your firewalls and you're doing SSL decryption for whatever reason, it's just basically going to be untouchable. So you're going to have to start dropping them because they're not yet adapted. And I guess if they do show up, it's a concern because you think to yourself, well, who the hell is using it? And it will be the bad guys. I guarantee you the bad guys have been doing this before anybody else's, weren't they?
D-Wave have now got a quantum cloud, so you can rent quantum computing.
There you go. Exactly the point. That Crystal's Kyber and Crystal's Dilithium, did you know, see the nods to...
I didn't realize your mom was called Dilithium. Missed that one, yeah. Nicely done, guys.
Oh, somebody's got a sense of humor over there. That's brilliant. But I mean, yeah, these are complex. I mean, like I say to you, I am not even going to attempt to pretend that I have a clue what's going on. The fact that it's called a Crystals is a cryptographic suite for algebraic lattices. I mean,
that was a lot of random words to me.
That tells you, and then this is, I'll give you this one line, which basically says everything you need to know that clearly you and I are not smart enough. The design of Dilithium is based on the Fiat Shamir with abort technique of the Luber Bashensky, which uses rejection sampling to make lattice-based Fiat Shamir schemes compact and secure. I mean, quite frankly, you could have just said to me words, because that's
exactly what... Hurdy-gurdy-gurdy-gurdy. that made no sense to me whatsoever.
No, not at all. But it is worrying, though, like you say, already that one of these setups is already got your vulnerabilities, isn't it? But God, can you imagine, though, like, you know, with the quantum computing, like, somebody, a bad actor, is going to get hold of one of these. And, you know, I don't want to point fingers at any particular country, but one that's on the eastern side of the world from when you're stood in the western side of the world is very likely already there, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, massively, definitely.
And, you know, what capabilities are they going to have to start, you know, once those become operational in the sense that you can use them without, you know, being in a huge laboratory or something. Yeah, this, you know, attacks are just going to become, well, not, I wouldn't say indefensible because, you know, they will catch up. But yeah, things are not, you know, there's going to be a whole new wave of kind of cyber warfare going on here. You know,
we're probably okay for a while. I mean, my understanding of quantum computing is that it's not a general purpose computer. It's very specific for one task and one task only. So you have to design the quantum computer for that particular task.
But that's what will happen, though, is it? That, you know, you will get machines or data sets or whatever they're designed at to be, you know, for cracking, for you know, cryptology. That's exactly what happened. I imagine you'll end up with several of these in a kind of a, like I said, some kind of data center, I suppose. I don't know how you would apply them. But yeah, you're right. They're not there yet. But we're not talking 50 years, 60 years away now. We're much closer than it was. I mean, there's that famous IBM one, isn't there? The one that hangs there in the kind of, you've seen it, what looks like a chandelier.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And you think to yourself, that's a computer? But I guess, you know, we've got to get our heads around of what actually the concept of what a computer is versus what we're used to seeing, isn't it, really?
Yeah, they're very, very different.
Very, very different. But yes, quantum cryptography is definitely the area there. The science of exploiting quantum mechanic properties to perform cryptographic tasks. Oh, just dear God. My head, I didn't have a headache, but I now think I've got one coming. Okay, all right. So yes, coming back to the CMA then. So the CMA has published its responses then, finally.
It did what was it? Basically, it started reaching out to publishers and studios across the industry to get their responses or their take on the deal, didn't they? The Microsoft Activision buyout deal. So as part of their process, they've released those 9 responses. Now, one was obviously asking Microsoft and asking Activision what they thought of it. And surprise, surprise, they were like, yes, we love it. But there were 7 other ones. Now, one was Sony, and shock horror, Sony don't want to go ahead. But the other 6, they were all unanimously, yeah, we're up for it.
I was surprised. I read some of them. They were very surprised. You know, the statements were
anonymous. Statements were good. I mean, anonymous. We don't know who these other 6 were. But yeah, there were 2 statements in the article. I think the first one was basically saying that the acquisition will not all of a sudden make Xbox the dominant platform. It's far more likely that it may help to create a level playing field between Xbox and PlayStation, which at this point in time is sorely needed.
That was quite interesting, wasn't it? Because it was almost like saying, you know what, we need this. we might need this, you know. But the other one was interesting about the Chinese threat, wasn't it? There was a couple of comments around that Chinese threat.
What was it? Oh, yeah. Chinese publishers in our industry benefit from an unfair advantage due to the fact that the Chinese market is closed to Western companies through various regulations. Yep. Letting Microsoft and Activision consolidate their business in light of this fast-growing competition would not be against the interest of UK consumers.
That sounds to me like somebody who's publishing games currently at the minute.
Or had been publishing them in China and now had it removed, yeah.
Yeah. But Sony, you know, they continue to beat the same drum, don't they, about the fact that Microsoft are going to raise prices or Call of Duty won't be, you know, coming anywhere else. And none of this is cited. There is, you know, none of it is actually evidential, is it?
No, it's just their feeling. Or their lie, or whatever you want to call it. But it's not backed up by fact, is it?
No, it's not backed up by anything. It's just emotional.
Yeah. It's a business decision, isn't it? They want to do that so that Microsoft can't buy Activision. It still gives them the lead.
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is that the market and the consumers are all up for this. It's just Sony that clearly is, you know, now I think Sony's dug themselves a hole they can't get out of. That's the problem now. And the other interesting part, wasn't it, that Microsoft made a statement that the CMA had made a huge mistake over its position in the deal, hadn't it?
Yeah, that was something to do with they took on about, I don't have it to hand now, but it was something to do with when they calculated the figures about whether we'd be better off or not. Was it for one side, they calculated 5 years of figures, but for the against side or the four side, I can't remember, the opposite side, they only calculated 1 year's worth of figures, didn't they?
Yeah, and they also said that the CMA made assumptions that Microsoft would basically close Call of Duty from other platforms, which was a complete misunderstanding of their whole business model. And they basically were saying that the engagement, they used Minecraft as an example, didn't they? Saying that engagement is the only way to make it successful, and it has to be on every platform, everywhere, all of the time. I think, you know, from one of the arguments is that Sony are, this is, they're running on empty now. They have not got any real solid argument no longer. It's, as we said, it is all an emotional response. You know, if you can have an emotional response as a company.
And Microsoft is what do you call it? They're not the platform company in one way, but not platformers in Xbox. No. They just want to get their software. So great. If you buy, I don't know, Minecraft, right? Minecraft example. If you buy it and you buy an Xbox, brilliant. We sold the Xbox, but we're making a loss on it anyway, probably. So if you buy it on the PlayStation, we're making a profit because we're not losing on the hardware.
Exactly.
And we still get some money out of it. That's the word I want to use.
They're a services company. And, you know, Microsoft made one of the points they made, wasn't it? It was around the adoption of new technology is the only way to survive in this industry. And the view is that, I think the Sony's view, or Sony is a conservative view, that isn't allowing itself to evolve and adapt to the changing market forces. They're like, no, it's got to stay here. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not looking over there.
Right, whereas to the past, it'll work in the future.
Yeah, whereas Microsoft, for all of their flaws, have embraced omnichannel gaming, haven't they? They've realized they can't lock their games to the Xbox. You know, I know Windows PC, but the point being is it's not just there. It's beyond that, you know, the cloud gaming aspects. We've talked about the deals with, you know, Nintendo, haven't we? And last week we talked about the deals with those two other streaming companies that we'd never heard of either. You know, Microsoft is willing to step outside of its comfort zone here and open up, you know, and as you say, get the revenue from other places.
I'd argue it's not even outside the comfort zone. Look at Office. It used to be a Windows-only thing. Office is now available on anything of a web browser. You've got native apps on iOS, on Android or Mac.
Actually, you know what?
Linux doesn't have a native app. I'm wrong there, but it has a web browser.
You know what? Actually, that's a very fair argument. Exactly that. Sony are, you know, this closed model with Sony is not going to carry. It's not going to work. But I don't know how. So when have we got? When is the final decision process now? Then we can't
The CMA was March, and the EU one in June sometime.
Must be, isn't it?
I want to say it's like 27th or something. I want to say it's basically next
Monday,
week.
Isn't it?
Or Monday, yeah.
Yeah, Monday next week. So 4 hours ago, the CMA has published. Oh, sorry, I just seen this. I've just thought that. So basically, it was a statement 4 hours ago. The CMA has now narrowed scope of concerns. Having considered the additional evidence provided, we have now provisionally concluded that the merger will not result in a substantial lessening of competition in the console gaming services because the cost to Microsoft of withholding Call of Duty from PlayStation would outweigh any gains from such actions. It's done.
Awesome.
That's not the official. I don't think that's the official statement, but that's the provisional findings. Provisional new evidence provisionally alleviates concerns in relation to the supply of gaming consoles in the UK. Investigation continues with the final report still due by the 26th of April. But I would say, based on that provisional wording, it's done.
I think you're right. When we were chatting offline, the fact they've released the 9 statements and 8 of them are in favour. Other than Sony, who brought up the initial complaint.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You kind of got to stand on, have you?
It's like, guys, we know you're unhappy.
You don't have to keep telling us.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the reason we're here is because of you. It's not anybody else. Now realistically, then, what we need to find out is where the FTC stand on this, and of course the European Commission as well. And then I think that's going to be the.
But the FTC they're suing them in court, aren't they? That is very different from like the CMA and the EU.
I don't think the FTC are particularly worried about any concerns of market competition issues, are they? At this moment, no. It's a different problem.
Yeah, different one. So we just need the EU on that one then.
Yeah,
from my understanding, are kind of veering towards their favour anyway.
There you go then. Well, then, talking of Microsoft then, they're also going to be launching a new mobile gaming store then. Completely unrelated to this statement. But you know.
Well, kind of related because potential purchase of Activision Blizzard is it called King? Candy.
Yeah.
What's it called? Candy Crush. It's King. It is King who do that. They're owned by them. You know, have a massive mobile gaming development centre. And I say, they want to bring out Xbox games on mobile.
So this is interesting because obviously this is something that we talked about, not specifically Microsoft, but the competition to the App Store, wasn't it, for games?
Yeah.
And iOS, if you recall, when we were talking about the whole Epic thing, this is one of the things that they were getting upset about, wasn't it? They weren't going to allow this, really. But things have changed, things have moved on.
Digital Economies Act is kind of forcing their hand, and I suppose if they do it here, then they'll do it elsewhere. So yeah, Microsoft are already building out a game store for iOS and for Android. I say in preparation for this, but they can already release it on Android. So, but I think the main one is for iOS. So they're building this out with the plans to launch it next year, because I think that's when they believe that Apple will be forced to allow third-party app stores.
Yeah, and again, this you make a point that is related, because in the CMA filing, they stated, didn't they, that they had no meaningful presence. Their quote was, they had no meaningful presence in mobile gaming, and the Activision Blizzard merger would bring much-needed expertise into mobile gaming development marketing.
It would do, so, yeah.
You're right, this is another area where Microsoft are keen to leap forward beyond... basically beyond where they are today, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, I mean, not the ability not to have the App Store on the one app, the app, well, more importantly, the app on Apple's App Store, forced them to go back and redesign xCloud to be in a browser as well, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that, I think, that was something that they were very strongly upset about. They wanted to move it forward. And the fact that, as you say, iOS weren't, Apple were like, I'm not letting you do that, Sunshine.
Well, you can, but don't you have to have an app for every single game?
You did, and you've still got to...
It has to go through each of the vetting approval process.
Yeah, exactly. So, because how have Netflix got away with it?
They built it all into one app, haven't they?
They did, didn't they? That's right. They built that.
It's just one giant app.
Yeah, like, you will have everything.
Yeah.
Look... It's coming. Change is inevitable, isn't it? As much as I don't necessarily agree with all of it. But change is inevitable, and Apple, I think, are going to have to accept some of this, the Digital Economies or Digital Markets Act stuff, more than they realise. But more that will, this is going to be something we're going to see, I guess, towards the end of this year, isn't it? As we move towards.
Well, I imagine we'll start to see parts of it at Worldwide Developer Conference, won't we? The hints of. The groundwork being in place for enabling these third-party app stores and these other, the browsers other than Safari or WebKit, etc.
Yeah, no, I think probably will do. So Dub, I mean, that's June. It's not that far away, is it, really?
Although, we have heard that a lot of development has now gone towards Reality OS, haven't we, rather than iOS 17. So who knows, but they're going to have to do it at some point.
Well, this is it. And I guess, how are you going to get your games for Reality OS? That's another question, but, you know. Okay, then. So before we fire up the old tech rant rumor mill, then, FTX. So we haven't spoken about FTX for a little while, but
we
FTX
have not.
Is the former crypto exchange.
Third largest in the world, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was just going to say, was it a crypto exchange or was it somebody's piggy bank? I'm not entirely sure which it was.
It was a hybrid of the two, I think. So obviously, they've gone bust, the liquidators have gone in, and obviously there's the whole he was arrested, and they're trying to track down where the money is. But liquidators have kind of announced they've uncovered at least where $3.2 billion of it has gone. And you're not going to be surprised to find out it went to Sam Bankman-Fried and his inner circle. Substantial amounts of it. I mean, the lowest figure that went to one of his inner circle was $6 million, wasn't it? And that went to CEO of Alameda Research. But Sam himself, $2.2 billion he withdrew out of there for his personal fund. Who's the other one? The co-lead engineer of FTX, Nishad Singh. He took $587 million. And the FTX CTO, I can't pronounce that first name. We're going to call him Gary Wang. He took $246 million. That's a lot of pennies.
I mean, I just don't know what to say. I mean,
and that's not all, obviously, is it? So no, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
But it's just, it's theft. There's no other way of looking at it.
Great theft. Yeah, yeah. Because this doesn't include all the houses. So the liquidator said it doesn't include more than $240 million spent on luxury properties in the Bahamas. As well as any unlawful political or charitable donations, nor any substantial transfers to non-debtor subsidiaries in the Bahamas and other jurisdictions. There's a lot more money disappeared here.
I don't know. I mean, so what we call it? Oh, it's SBF, wasn't he? That was his kind of moniker.
Yeah, SBF.
So he's currently on bail at the moment, isn't it? $250 million bail, and he's at house arrest in California in his parents' house. So 12 counts against him, but they could go up. Those counts could go up, given the fact that
they will do massively.
They are going to go up. And the trial's scheduled to start this October. So this is, you know, this is going to be. So how long do you bet? How long before the Netflix documentary, do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably already in the works. I wonder who's playing SBF. You can't, they're filming already. You know this is happening.
Yeah, so who's going to play? What's it? You've got Caroline Ellison, haven't you? Who is his former girlfriend. And then basically scapegoat for everything.
Yeah. She only got away with $6 million, apparently.
Oh, dear. What a shame. I mean, only $6 million. I mean,
but I mean, compared to the 246.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's pocket change.
Or the $2.2 billion, it's nothing. Yeah. It's a crumb.
It is a crumb, you know. But you've just got to ask this. I mean, $2.2 billion. I mean, my God. I mean, did he? I don't know what gets it. Is it on the audacity or is it the narcissism? I just, you know, you think you're gonna get away with it. It's just nuts.
I don't know. It's just, I can't fathom it. It's crazy. You know, I've heard of a little bit of theft, but 2.2 billion is going all in, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of this was around the crypto token, the FTX token, wasn't it? They called it FTT, which was the value that they were propping up Alameda Research with. And then Binance, obviously, as we talked about previously, Binance were going to come in and buy, weren't they? And then they pulled out at the last minute.
They saw the accounts and went, oh,
and ran away at a million. Yeah. But the part is, I think the bit that always still makes me laugh is the guy who obviously is running, overseeing now, isn't he? The John Ray III, who's the CEO, who's interim CEO, who basically cleaned up the mess of Enron, didn't he? He said that FTX is worse than Enron. I mean, Enron is a benchmark for bad, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Not anymore. FTX.
Not anymore. FTX. You know, but it is nuts. When you think you've got to the bottom of this, you think, oh my God, you know, new things come out. It's just absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Bankman-Fried has actually omitted anything, has he? But currently, according to one of the filings, Gary Wang, Caroline Ellison, and Nishad Singh have all admitted fraud. I'm guessing they're looking for a plea deal.
Telltale on SBF.
Oh God, yeah, the bus is going to be driving, and he's going to be thrown well under it. I'll tell you now, they'll all be aboard that bus. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, just absolutely mind-boggling amounts of money. But just like my final point is that eventually somebody would have noticed this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Surely, eventually. But it's a Ponzi scheme, and I say this every time: every one of these crypto crashes is a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, every time, isn't it?
How can anybody have any crypto? You know, without going down that whole track, crypto is not going away. okay, we all know that. But it is not, it's a bit like, you know, the old industry we used to work in, wasn't it? Is this the day of, what's it, the virtualized desktop, VDI? Is it the year of VDI? You know, no, it's not. We're not there yet. And this is it, crypto. Is this the year of crypto? No, it is not the year of crypto yet. You know, crypto is a side note in, you know, world currency and world money movement. And will continue to be so until it is highly regulated, in my view. But yeah,
and obviously it's another proof of it. Was it yesterday, wasn't it, that Linus Tech Tips, his YouTube channel was hacked, and all the videos deleted or hidden or whatever, and videos of Elon Musk talking about cryptocurrency with a link to a fake crypto Elon crypto site where you're meant to put you know send them 10 Bitcoin or whatever, and they'll send you 20 back, they'll double your things. It was all a scam and that lot. And maybe we'll talk a bit more about that next week, because I'm sure the findings of how it all happened will be out by that point.
Well, he has, and he's already published a video. Today, early today, wasn't it? He published a video.
Maybe we'll add that to the list to chat about next week.
We will do. We will be. I think we're going to cover this in detail because it is somewhat crazy, isn't it, of how this has happened? Given that that is a multi-million-dollar business that he's built there, isn't it?
And it's not just him. Apparently, this same thing is happening all the time on YouTube. So there's bigger issues there. But yeah, we'll discuss that next week.
Definitely. So then, hang on a second. There you go. So then, the Meta Quest 3.
Maybe it's time for you to upgrade, Jay. Maybe it's time to upgrade.
I'm possibly considering that. I think
maybe depending on what the pricing comes in. So this was probably a week or two back, wasn't it? It was Meta's VP of VR, Mark Rabkin. He was talking on a podcast, I think it was, and was talking about the, you know, we're asking about, you've got the Quest Pro out, that's already been released. What's next for Meta? What's the Quest 3 going to look like? And between this and some of the stuff that leaked, you know, we're getting a bit better picture now. So apparently, he was saying it's going to be 2 times thinner. Now, I imagine that's because it's going to have pancake lenses. That's what the leak says. So that will obviously make it a lot thinner on the front end there. It should be twice as powerful. So I imagine it's going to be using a new Qualcomm, is it XR? I think it's using XR2 at the moment, but be a new Qualcomm chip, I imagine there. It's going to have some new features, one called Smart Guardian. So if you've ever used VR at the moment, you have to, while your headset on, you have to plan out the room, don't you? So you don't bump into anything, yeah? So apparently this is going to have sensors that allow to automatically map the 3D world around you. So for obstacle avoidance. But the other one is, it's a big push is mixed reality, he was saying. So I'm going to guess that means it's going to have things like the Quest Pro, full HD color pass-through cameras.
See, this is where the money is, isn't it? It's a mixed reality. And this is what we're seeing, I think, definitely with the upcoming Apple headset as well. I think, you know, the screenshots that we've seen, you know, some of the early builds, it does sound impressive, a kit, and it does look a bit like that Apple headset, doesn't it? The renders, which will be on the show notes. It looks a little bit in the same kind of view, doesn't it? Same sort of design ethos, not quite as polished as Apple, but obviously.
I think that's a pancake lens. They give it a quite distinctive look, don't they?
They do, but I don't know. Again, it's Meta, though, isn't it?
That's the problem. I mean, even the price, they said between $300 and $500. I imagine it's going to... I mean, the Quest 2 is currently around $400, so I imagine it's going to be more the $500 range, unless they're going to start subsidizing it again. But I don't know. I mean, he was saying that mixed reality is the big push. It's not just for them. He wants you to wander around the house, the headset's still on, interact with people, you know, whatever's in your house via the color pass-through cameras, even be able to read your phone. So they're going to have to be pretty decent pass-through cameras.
Yeah, they're going to have to be pretty decent. There's only one way to... If it's not, the experience is going to be terrible and nobody's going to...
Well, it can't be worse than the Quest 2's pass-through with the black and white blurry mess.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, well, that's the same as mine. That's just, exactly the same.
It's the same pass-through. I mean, it's serviceable. It means I can put the headset on and I can sit down at the desk or whatever, but you couldn't see any detail. It's just...
No. It's fuzzy as hell. It's like, some kind of like weird nightmare. But no, there you go then. So the Quest 3, early preview of the Quest 3.
I'm actually sure this year. We don't have a date on it yet, but I imagine it'll be this year at some point.
It'll be at some point, but the renders have leaked, and we will probably get more information on that coming soon. Well, then, it's probably a good place for us to wrap up for today. We'll be back next week, of course, with episode 128. And as Carl said, our leading story, I can guarantee now, unless something else happens, is going to be the Linus Tech Tips hack. yeah, that's going to cost them some money. Of course, we are still on Twitter, despite, you know, the exodus. It still works. And you can find us at Weekly Tech Rant. And all of our show notes and other information is on techrant.online. And of course, you're listening to this podcast, but if you want to tell your friends, we're pretty much on every podcast service there is. And if there isn't one, do let us know and we will get that added. But with that, I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good day all.
What time of day is it?
I don't know. I've lost track.